Welcome to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was searching for the purpose of her life and the truth that would tie everything together to make sense of what was taught and what was happening on our planet, the fire that was creating all the smoke. Through many experiences, she was finally led to the knowledge book that provided all the answers. Marge is now talking about this gift to humanity on Knowledge Book Radio, so all can be united in peace, love, and harmony. This live call-in show at 1-800-930-2819 is amazing. So get ready to hear about the Knowledge Book. Here's your host, Marge Potasek.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marge Potasek, and you're listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. And for the next hour, as we have been for probably over a year right now, or maybe 2 years, we will continue our series of Omega Talks. And these are given usually at the end of every month. And these talks are part of the unification program of the Call to Friendship Association that has been formulated in Turkey in 2017. And this is the organization, this is the association that's mentioned in the knowledge book. So what's happening in these talks is that we basically take some kind of world knowledge, science knowledge, or anecdotal knowledge that's available on the world planet, and we go delving into this topic, and then we connect that to spirituality by connecting it in some way, shape, or form to the knowledge book and actually to the Omega dimension. Now, those of you who have listened to this talk before will know that the Omega dimension is the 19th dimension, and this is a dimension that has been opened to us through the knowledge book for the first time. And this week, we're going to be talking about music heals. Last month, we talked about music in general, and this month, we're talking about music heals. So, but before we go on, let me give you some information. The general United States website for the knowledge book is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. The Turkish World Brotherhood Union website is www.dkbdavidkiteboy-mevlana.org.tr. My own contact information is 973-787-7035. And my email is mmjp99@gmail.com. The Call to Friendship website is www.calltofriendship.org. Okay, so please do email or text me with any questions that arise from today's topic or from previous topics and shows. And any topic that you would like me to cover in a future show and connecting it somehow to the knowledge book and connecting it directly to the Omega dimension, please do text or call me. Be more than happy to take that into consideration. Sometimes it takes a while before the topic really gels and before I could think it through enough to be able to do a presentation. So without further ado, let's talk about music and music that heals. So I'm sure that many of us have been sometimes on a bus, sometimes on a subway, or on a plane, and seen people moving their bodies to the beat of the music that only they can hear through their earphones. And those people sometimes have a very faraway look on their face, as if they're in a different time and space, or they're actually in another world, no longer as part of the world that they're traveling in. Or on the flip side of this coin, have you been stared at while listening to your music because you did not manage to keep your body still and it moved to the music's rhythm despite all your efforts? I'm sure we've been on both sides of the scale here because music intrinsically has the ability to get us moving, to get the body moving in time and in rhythm and in step with the music. Also, the other way around, have you listened to music that literally put you to sleep? Now, recently, I've been looking on YouTube, and there was a Muppet skit where Victor Borge was the guest, and he actually was playing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. And his audience was composed of Fozzie the Bear, and there was a bust of Beethoven on the piano. By the time the skit was finished, both Fozzie the Bear, Beethoven's bust, and Victor Borge all were sleeping and snoring on the show. And actually, that reminded me, because how many of us have gone to a concert and found ourselves sound asleep or nudging our neighbor because they were snoring to wake them up? And we ourselves were awoken when the rest of the audience started to clap. The music so relaxed us that we actually dozed off. So besides activating us, music has the ability to calm us. So, and also music has the ability to move us. Now, very popular aerobics classes or Zumba classes are very popular because the music removes the drudgery and the boredom of the exercises because of the lively music that is being played. And if you've ever been to an exercise that has a musical background, you forget about your pain, you forget about how sore your muscles are getting, you forget that you're out of breath because you're in time with the music, in tune with the music, and you can continue to exercise because the music is moving you on. So the music gets the body moving and keeps it moving even when we would have stopped. It gives us the energy to continue when our own energy has been depleted and our muscles are tired. Another example of this is the following. It's not an accident that soldiers going to war sang songs, that songs were sung while forging iron and steel. Because if you imagine the smiths, the ironsmiths, the swordsmiths actually sang a tune, sang a very prescribed tune with a very prescribed tempo. And each of the people who were responsible for hammering that hot steel or hot piece of iron had needed to do it at a particular tempo and a particular strike point. So, and also, if you remember from some of the movies that we went to, slaves sang while manning the oars, held the ships. It allowed them to keep in rhythm so that all the oars moved at the same time in sync with each other so that the boat actually moved forward and the oars were not entangled with each other. And it's not an accident that every nation has its own anthem. Every nation has its own particular musical accompaniment. And when the people are singing that song, they're singing the anthem, they're basically united in that music and as a nation. So the music basically motivated and orchestrated the activities by which or with which the music was being played. Now, music also influences and propels change. If you remember Pete Seeger, he died in 2014 or 2015, that's what he showed us. Seeger was a pioneer in the use of music to influence change. His combination of incredibly catchy melodies and thoughtful, socially conscious lyrics in songs, such as "We Shall Overcome," "This Land Is Your Land," "If I Had a Hammer," and "Turn, Turn, Turn," were a powerful influence on national movements, including the fight for civil rights, world peace, and environmental protection. So Seeger actually was best known for using music for social change. And an important part of his legacy is the potential for music to affect change on a personal level. When Seeger said, "This machine surrounds hate and forces it to surrender," he was throwing down the gauntlet. Music can heal. Now, in Tibetan Buddhism, enlightenment or Buddhahood is reached by following a very specific and graduated series of practices. Each practice has its own mantra, its own music, its own implements made of special materials, and its own form. Sometimes sitting still in a specific postures, sometimes doing a series of movements, and sometimes doing a corresponding dance. The practitioner moves on to the next practice once they have completed all the requirements and having shown that she, he has succeeded to his, her teacher. So this is a very gradual, very orchestrated and very supervised practice that allows people to go step by step up the evolutionary ladder, eventually leading to Buddhahood, so complete enlightenment. Now, the knowledge book on fascicle 6, page 86 to 87, talks about meditation, which is what is happening in Tibetan Buddhism. And it talks about the prayer beads or the malas in Tibetan Buddhism. Quote, "The prayer beads are the single tool used to integrate religious suggestions. Each bead of the prayer beads prepares your thought frequencies for a certain level. The concentration in moving every bead of the prayer bead will open the gate of the key that is given to you. That is, the prayer beads are nothing but an occurrence of meditation. But during meditation, you elevate your thought frequency yourself. However, with the prayer beads, you rise by pursuing other frequencies." So in other words, you could go higher than you normally would because of the mantra recitation, because of the prayers. I continue, quote, "Every hand transmits healing in accordance with the energy of the dimension to which it belongs. In each hand, there is an effect of electrical healing, little or plentiful. There are powerful healing currents in each frequency line in accordance with the stages of rising. You receive those powerful currents from the energetic points of the dimension that your brain energies enter. Whichever prayer you pray with the assistance of the prayer beads, your meditation at that moment will elevate you to that energetic dimension, but you have to know the origin of that prayer as well." Now, so each one of the mantras, each one of the texts, each one of the practices is the specific key, an index, a pathway that allows you basically a handle to the door of the dimension from which that prayer comes, or from which that mantra comes, or to which that mantra is connected. So as you're chanting, as you're working through these practices, you go up the scale, higher and higher practices, higher and higher frequency levels, and higher effect on you through these meditation practices. That's how they work. And that's how the lamas can achieve such high states. So to summarize, the multiple recitation of the mantras, prayers, texts raises our thought frequencies and purifies us, eliminating our negativities. And it is the negativities that basically make us sick. We enter higher dimensions and slowly progress up the evolutionary ladder. In so doing, it heals us and enables us to heal others. So it should surprise no one that music was and is currently used in both ancient and current times in healing ceremonies. Music in combination with dance was and is being used to put the shaman into a trance, connecting him, her to other dimensions and allowing the shaman to access energies and knowledge from those dimensions. The shaman, having received and connected with that knowledge and energy from that dimension, then knows what melody to sing, what instruments to play, what dance to dance, what medicines to give in order to seek that, to heal that sick person. So again, it is this protocol that the shaman follows that allows him to go into an altered state. And that protocol, that song, that drum beat allows him to jump into another dimension, collect the knowledge that's there and bring it down and use it to heal the person in front of them. And that's why healing ceremonies change depending on the person that needs to be healed. Now, according to the Wikipedia, shamanic drumming disengages the brain's awareness of outside activities and blocks their input. So you're basically disconnecting, the shaman is disconnecting himself, herself from the current reality. Instead, it heightens activity in brain networks that help that brain to enter, quote, an internally directed conscious state, end quote. In other words, the rapid drum beat helps shamans to connect to their subconscious mind or connect to a dimension where the answers lie. Now, again, according to the knowledge book, like the prayer, mantra, text recitation, the shamanic practice has developed a certain protocol to connect with and get energies and knowledge from higher dimensions. This enables them to accomplish healing. To paraphrase the knowledge book, the higher dimensions send us energy pores, and each dimension has its own energy particles and knowledge that is containing those energy particles. And when we, our brains, receive these energy particles, we can interpret them as ideas. So our brain are basically constructed in such a way that they have the innate capacity to receive energy particles and then interpret, translate, and transform energy particles into ideas. So this is how those individuals who go into trance, those individuals who are the mediums who bring in knowledge from other dimensions, who basically teach us and who have given us knowledge from other dimensions, this is what they do. They get into a different state. That state, through whatever practice they do, connects them to a different dimension, and they bring back knowledge through the energy pores that they hit and they absorb, and then they're able to give that knowledge to us as a translation or transliteration of whatever knowledge that's out there. Now, according to Fascicle 27, page 417, the quote, "The thought titrations and repliques of all the humans, of the supreme ones, of the saints who had lived in their own mediums, are present within all these magnetic fields in the form of energy particles. Nothing is lost in the universe." So where do these people, where do the mediums, where do the shamans, where do the lamas, where the priests get the information? That is all out there. And depending on what frequency that particular person, that particular individual is able to reach, they are able then to access those energy particles, access those thought forms, and be able to then bring that to us. So basically, to paraphrase again, the magnetic fields hold all the knowledge of all times. We, however, need to be able to reach that magnetic dimension with our thoughts to be able to access that knowledge. However, we also need to be able to withstand the energies of that dimension so our brains are not harmed. So there are many people, and there are warnings being made to people that they have to follow the instructions exactly. In other words, you need to be able to do the practice exactly as it is being taught, sing the same rhythm that's supposed to be given, do the movements that you're supposed to be doing, because if you don't do that, then you wind up getting sick. You wind up sometimes going mad. So you have to be very careful, number one, who you get your instructions from. Number two, how you actually follow that instruction to the letter so be able to get the results that you actually expect and want. And so you're not zapped, and then you don't wind up being a bit crazy. So what we've covered so far, basically, is what science would consider anecdotal knowledge, meaning there are no double-blind studies about what the work that that Pete Seeger did. There are no studies being made, double-blind studies, that basically tests the fact that people exercise more and longer during a Zumba class with music playing than not. So these are all anecdotal information. And basically, we basically know that when we are in a Zumba class, we will be able to perform exercises that we cannot do at home because we're not motivated enough. And all this information is basically common knowledge. So let's look and see what science actually does say and see what kind of measurements in double-blind studies actually came out with. And how does the medical or scientific community view music's impact on health and well-being? So here's some food for thought from the scientific viewpoint. We'll cover a little bit of "Does Music Heal?" by Psychology Today, "Keep Your Brain Young with Music" by Hopkins Medicine, "The Brain-Music Connection." And then there are also four scientific studies that show music decreasing stress and promoting healing by Mike Bondrant, NLP discoveries, and music therapy for depression, how it can heal. So the sad story is, or the sad fact is, one in four adults, 25% in the United States, suffers from mental illness each year. Yet only 40% of those individuals are able to actually receive treatment. So when you think about the health implications for the public is actually huge, because mental health issues cost the world $2.5 trillion annually because of the loss of functioning, loss of life, and the increasingly rising and exorbitant healthcare costs. Now, there are alternative and complementary treatments for depression, for mental illness. So people have used creative art, they have used meditation, they have used yoga to help those individuals who are not able to get help to actually bridge this gap. However, because music is so ubiquitous in our society, and it's so, because it is so easy to transmit, that music actually has the greatest potential among all the alternative therapies to reach people who do not otherwise have access to care. So you can actually self-heal and self-help yourself by listening to music, but it's better to be able to connect with someone who knows what music pieces you should play and for how long. Because again, music is able to affect us. So we need to make sure that the effect that the music is having on us is what we want to have happening to us. So now we know that music heals emotional suffering, because through controlled treatment outcome studies that listening to, so basically, now we know through controlled treatment outcome studies that listening to and playing music is a potent treatment for medical health issues. Research has demonstrated that adding music therapy to treatment improves symptoms and social functioning amongst schizophrenics. So this is where the music is combined with traditional treatment for schizophrenia. And furthermore, music therapy has demonstrated efficacy as an independent treatment for reducing depression, anxiety, and chronic pain. So I have a friend who actually is a music therapist, and she has told me that people have been able to receive surgery without anesthesia through the use of music. She has also been able to help people who have mental issues, who have pain issues, who have muscle issues through music. And she has very specific music to play for the type of illness or the type of situation that she's dealing with. So music also has a way of getting the world together. There are several mechanisms by which music can have this effect. First of all, music has positive physical effects. It can produce direct biological changes such as reducing heart rate, blood pressure, and cortisol levels. This has been all documented through science, through scientific studies, through measurements. So this is not anecdotal knowledge. This is actually knowledge coming out or data coming out from very specific studies done in a medical environment through medical equipment. And also, studies suggest that exposure to prosocial lyrics increase positive thought, empathy, and helping behavior. So basically, just by being able to be in a group and that group is singing, "We Shall Overcome," that in itself basically binds us together and allows us to basically have a positive thought, a positive outcome, being feeling good about themselves and others, being empathetic to others, and being much more able to help other people. So this lyric and singing, "We Shall Overcome," with others, that in itself may be able to reach more people than all of the psychotherapists in the world combined. This is a very strong statement. This is coming out of the scientific community. So these lyrics that basically, such as "We Shall Overcome," they may be able to reach more people because it is sung many places. It is played in many places, either together with people as a sing-along or people themselves sing it to themselves. And those individuals who do not have access to psychotherapists, have access to some kind of institutional help, they are able to receive help just from the music itself. So to continue getting the world together, music itself is a connecting experience. Seeger was well known for his use of the sing-along, and he made his goal of building communities explicit, saying, quote, "The idea of using music to try to get the world together is now all over the place. Research clearly demonstrates that improved social connection and support can improve mental health outcomes. Thus, any music that helps connect people can have a profound impact on an individual's mental health." Now, studies have shown that people who go to concerts, who frequently go to concerts or maybe on occasion go to concerts, basically come out being good, feeling good, and having a very positive outcome. This has been studied and this has been actually shown. And when you go to a concert or when you're together in some kind of a concert, whether that's 20 people, 100 people, thousands of people, basically all the people in that group, in that audience, become one consciousness. They become connected to each other because they're all at the level of the music that is being played, whether that's rock, whether that's heavy metal, whether that's Beethoven or Mozart or whatever music that is being played. All the people in that audience are at one with the music and with each other, so they become connected. And they are. That's the way the music actually is able to connect and heal people and leave the people feeling and being very positive. And again, research clearly demonstrates that improved social connection and support can improve mental health outcomes. So if you're connected to other people, if you're connected to others, if you have a social circle, if you're part of some group, that actually has been shown that you live longer, you live better, and you have a much more positive outlook. And of course, that has an impact on your mental health. So if you have a positive outlook, you will not be depressed because you will know whatever's going on. Now, the knowledge book explains that a person completely in tune with music has no thought and no negativity, and they therefore have reached the dimension of God. And on page 16, knowledge book states, I quote, "A whirling dervish in ecstasy, reuniting with his love, his God, with the sounds of the reed flute, is the same as the lover dancing to the notes of music, and they are on the same frequency. They have reached the plane of love, art, and true love, which is the most supreme plane. The paths are the same. Music is universal. It assists to achieve ecstasy for every society according to their understanding," end quote. So music unifies. Music brings us together to a specific dimension, and it removes, because we are so in tune with the music, we have no thoughts. And it is our thoughts that are basically negative. It is our thoughts that get us into trouble. So if we're not thinking, then we're at the plane of God, because there is no negativity in us. If there is no negativity in us, that we are at the plane of God. We are there at the plane of love and true love. And therefore, we have nothing, no choice but to feel good and be good. Okay. Now, music also heals trauma. There are other musicians who also had a message. And those are Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, and Rage Against the Machine. They have taken to heart Seeger's statement that participation, that's what's necessary and what's going to save the human race. So we need to be able to connect with each other. So his influence can also be seen in organizations such as Music Corps, which heals disabled vets through teaching music, and Rock Against Dystrophy, which organizes concerts to raise money for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. So Pete Seeger is one of the godfathers of using music to improve mental health and well-being. So it is actually very, very good to see people in wheelchairs, people who have, you know, gone through tremendous physical trauma, to be able to overcome their difficulty, to overcome their traumas, to be able to pull themselves through and be able to function. And this is being accomplished through music. Now, Johns Hopkins Medicine also has recommendations of keeping your brains young with music. So if you want to exercise your brain, listen to music. Quote, There are very few things that stimulate the brain the way music does, says one John Coppins otolaryngologist. Continue the quote. If you want to keep your brain engaged throughout the aging process, listening to or playing music is a great tool. It provides a total brain workout. So if you want to exercise your brain without, besides thinking, besides Sudoku or doing crossword puzzles, just playing music exercises your brain. Because research has shown that listening to music can reduce anxiety, blood pressure, and pain, as well as improve deep sleep quality, mood, mental alertness, and memory. So memory helps. I mean, memory, this is something that I've been wondering how I can heal myself, because it's getting to the point where by the time I get from the bedroom to the kitchen, I've forgotten why I went to the kitchen. But anyways, I have to figure out, ask my friend actually what I should play in order to be able to have a better memory. Now, so there is a brain music connection. And the scientists, even though they know what the musical effects are, they are trying to understand how our brains can hear and play music. So when you think about it, you're listening to the music playing on the stereo system, and that system puts out vibrations. Those vibrations travel through the air, and somehow they get inside our ear canal. Now, there are little bones in the ear canal. So those vibrations that were produced by the radio or by the stereo system, they tickle the eardrum, and then that vibration then is transmitted and changed into an electrical signal, and that electrical signal then travels through the auditory nerve to the brainstem. And in the brainstem is where it is reassembled into something we perceive as music. So basically, what is being played on the radio or what is being played on your stereo system, we really don't know what that sounds like, really, because we can only interpret what we hear as music. We can only hear what the brain tells us we have heard. Now, John Hopkins researchers have had dozens of jazz performers and rappers improvise music while lying down inside an fMRI, which is a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine, to watch and see which areas of the brains actually do light up. Now, functional magnetic resonance imaging, basically what that does is when you're inside this magnetic field, that machine is able to see where the blood is going in the brain, because that's the area that needs the nourishment at that particular time to be able to function. So basically, these studies are mapping which areas of the brain are actually lighting up, and for them to be able to isolate what is happening in the brain and what parts of the brain are activated. Now, science already knows and has mapped the regions of the brain that has associated with certain functions and certain things that we do and how we do it. So they're beginning to understand how things are going on, but they really don't know what is going on or how it works. They only know that it does work. Now, I quote, "Music is structural, mathematical, and architectural. It's based on relationships between one note and the next. You may not be aware of it, but your brain has to do a lot of computing to make sense of it." And this is coming from an otolaryngologist. So in order for us even to hear music and understand what's going on, our brain needs to be able to do lots and lots of functions in order for us to be able to hear music. So just the very fact of listening to music activates the brain and exercises the brain. So the power of music, though, isn't limited to interesting research. So there are some recommendations for methods of bringing more music and brain benefits into your life. So in order to jumpstart your creativity, listen to what your kids or grandkids are listening to. And this is coming from experts. We usually get used to and continue to listen to the same songs and types of music that we did during our teens and 20s. And we generally avoid hearing anything that's not from any era, from our own era. So I feel good listening to the music when I was young, However, I'm finding that people who are currently young are listening to music that we liked and we enjoyed, and music was popular during that time. However, newer music, for me, hip-hop was a stretch. However, after a while and listening to it, I understood it and I am enjoying it. So when we go into new music or different kinds of music, if we're going into, let's say, a concert, I went to a concert once. It was a very modern concert with lots of dissonance and a lot of discord, where we're used to hearing music and it feels good to us to hear something that's melodic, something that is in harmony with itself. So we understand and accept certain harmonies, certain combination of notes as being pleasing. However, this particular composer put in disharmony, put in all kinds of noises, some drum beats, some beats of metal, some other kind of beats. It all formed a musical composition that was actually strange to me. But after listening to that composer for a while, I got used to it and was able to make sense of it and see some beauty in it. So because we're looking at new music, that new music challenges the brain in a way that old music doesn't. It might not feel good at all or pleasurable at all at first, but because it is unfamiliar, it forces the brain to struggle to understand the new sound. It forces the brain to actually work and therefore to make new connections in the brain. New connections are formed, new neurons are connected, and therefore brain stays healthy and their brain stays younger. Okay, so everyday brain boots from music. If you want to remember something from long ago and having a hard time remembering that something from long ago, see if you can remember first music at the time. And I don't know if this probably is true for many people. If they hear a particular music or if they have, if they smell a particular smell, it brings them back to a time where that music was important. And that became part of the mechanism by which the brain formed a memory that stayed and got imprinted in the brain. So playing a music for the period in which you're trying to remember something, let's say you couldn't remember a person's name. However, if you remember the music at the time that they met them or the music that was playing at the time that you were talking to them, then maybe you will be able to recall that person's name because that person's name is connected to the music at the time. It's part of the memory package that was stored in your brain. So an example of this may be if you listen to a Beatles song, then it may take you back to the moment where you actually met your spouse, for instance. Or in my case, hearing a particular music basically brings me back to driving in upstate New York because we were going someplace and the scenery was beautiful. So we also need to listen to our body. We need to pay attention to how we react to different forms of music and pick the kind that works for you. So despite the fact that maybe hearing new music may be good for you, but if you can't get used to it, if this is something that is irritating to you, then don't listen. What helps, some people are able to listen to music and concentrate and be able to do math and be able to do all kinds of work, be able to type, be able to compose, be able to put poems or literature together. But another person who hears music that completely distracts them and they are not able to form anything, they're not able to think. So see what works for you. So what helps you concentrate, it may be okay for you, but it may be distracting to someone else. And whatever unwinds us and settles us down and brings our anxiety level down may not be the same music that actually works for somebody else and actually makes that person jumpy. Now we'll go into the four studies that show music decreasing stress and promoting healing. So this is number one study at McGill University, a review that was done at McGill University in Canada. So a large-scale review was conducted by a team led by McGill University Professor Daniel J. Levitin, and this was the first of its kind. After reviewing more than 400 research papers into the neurochemistry of music, researchers found that listening to music not only helped to reduce a patient's stress, it also improved immune system function and was more effective than prescription medications at reducing patient anxiety prior to surgery. The study was published in March of 2013 in the edition of Trends in Cognitive Science. So one of the previous programs that we had or that was done, basically it showed that as long as we are calm, we are peaceful, we are not stressed, then our immune system is boosted. And fear and anxiety basically stops all systems because fear and anxiety basically shuts down those cognitive areas of the brain, shuts down the immune system, shuts down the digestive system, shuts down everything in your body and isolates the blood in your muscles and extremities because you are then ready to fight or flight. So if there is something that allows you to relax, to be able to stay calm, then of course your immune system is allowed to then work. Your immune system is allowed to help you heal and keep you healthy. Now, in this review, researchers found that listening to music increased the production of immunoglobulin A, and this is a molecule that plays an important role in body's mucus system immunity. So immunoglobulin A, you need this to be able to maintain your immunity. And actually, there are natural killer cells that are released that attack bacteria and other germs. There are more of them than the music was played. And at the same time, listening to music reduces levels of stress hormone, cortisol in the body. So if you're stressed, find yourself a piece of music. If you feel that you're getting sick, do find a piece of music that relaxes you and stay calm and focused, and you'll be able to improve your immunity, improve your anxiety levels, and be able to stay healthy and regain your health. Okay, there was another study. And this study showed that music reduces anxiety levels of patients receiving ventilation. Now, in this study, researchers asked 64 patients on mechanical ventilation to answer what they call the Chinese State Trait Anxiety Inventory Scale before and after either 30 minutes of rest or 30 minutes of listening to music. Now, the patient's physiological indicators and resting behaviors were also recorded both before and after the study period. And what the researchers found was that participants who listened to music for a single session of 30 minutes showed greater psychological and physiological relaxation than those who simply rested without listening to music. This may mean that the music can help stave off or even prevent some of the potentially harmful physiological responses caused by the anxiety patients often experience while on a ventilator. So again, when we compare this study to what we know about what happens to our bodies under stress, then it makes sense that as we are relaxed, then cortisol levels will drop and your physical effects caused by the cortisol will lessen. There is another study. This is study number 3. What they found is that music reduces agitation in dementia patients. So in a study published in the August 1st edition of Nursing Times, Nottingham University Hospital's nurse Jacqueline Craig found that music therapy helped to reduce stress and anxiety while helping to enhance emotional well-being and even helped to increase social interaction. The study reviewed a number of scientific articles on the subject of music therapy as part of dementia care and found that patients showed improvement in anxiety and stress levels the minimum of 2 30-minute therapy sessions per week. And besides the older population, it also is helpful to have music in the NICU or the neonatal intensive care unit. So we have to be careful with recorded music because recorded music may overstimulate the senses of the premature infants. Live music, meaning that music that's being played in the NICU unit, that has been found to be extremely effective. In a 2013 study published in Pediatrics, researchers found that infants in the neonatal intensive care unit showed positive physiologic and developmental outcomes when exposed to live music and interventions 3 times per week. So we know already that very premature infants or infants that are at risk for some kind of a disease, when they are being held, when they're being talked to, already show improvement. But now it seems that exposing them to music that is played locally, that also helps them. So what this study involved 272 premature infants with clinical sepsis, meaning infection in the blood, respiratory distress, in other words, they were small for the age that they are. In the period during which rhythms or lullabies were played or sung, the infants experienced lower heart rates, better oxygen saturation, higher caloric intake, and increased suckling behavior. In addition, the live music or rhythms proved to be soothing to parents present for the study as well. So it's a good thing all around. Now, of course, music from all these studies, we can assume or we can deduce that music decreases stress and promotes healing. Music has long been considered to be one of humanity's greatest creative achievements. As it turns out, this creative force may have serious medical implications as well. Study after study has shown that music not only helps to reduce psychological stress, it can improve physiological symptoms, aid in healing, and improve immune function as well. Now, in the knowledge book on page 132, it says, quote, "Prepare your subsequent knowledge in accordance with the unknowns. Then you will receive messages of better quality. On this path, all the branches of art will assist you. Press, radio, television, as well as painting, sculpture, ceramics, theater, opera, ballet, cinema, always convey the messages to you. Music and concert assist you in quite a different way. Their vibrations are effective on your cells. Your consciousness codes that become richer by these changes, by these channels, will grasp the messages given to you more easily." So we have a double whammy here. Not only does the music work on us in terms of psychologically, but it also changes the cells. It also heals the cells through the direct vibration of the music. When we go to Turkey 3 times a year, and every one of the times that we go there, there is some kind of a music concert. And the music is loud and the music is beautiful. And basically our bodies are being rejuvenated, our bodies are being energized, and our bodies are being healed. Now, when we talk about depression, it is really sad that there is so much depression arising worldwide by leaps and bounds. According to the World Health Organization, globally, more than 264 million people of all ages suffer from depression. People with this most common mental health condition feel sad, tired, suffer from lack of interest or pleasure, have low self-worth, poor sleep pattern or lack of appetite, and are unable to concentrate. Depressions may soon become the leading cause of disability. Now, Jacko Urkola, along with 2 other researchers, compared the differences in outcomes when patients with depression were provided only standard care and with musical therapy. The results were published online by Cambridge University Press, and those who received music therapy plus standard care showed significant improvement in depressive symptoms than those receiving only standard care. So again, the fact that music is being given in addition to the standard care, enhance that person's ability to heal and that person's ability to get better, and that person's being able to get out of depression. There was another study that was published in the Journal of the Arts in Psychotherapy, explored the lived experiences of people with long-term depression involved in a group musical therapy. In the interview by music therapists, psychologists, and researcher and participants, the participants described that music and songwriting in a group made them feel safe and happy. Music motivated them to join creative community groups. Creating new lyrics helped them enjoy and express their difficult feelings into words. Meaning music, creating lyrics allowed those individuals who had these feelings on the inside to basically bring them outside, relieving the negativity inside, their non-positive feelings to the outside, expressing them and being able them to release them and be able to get back into a normal, even keel. So to summarize the results, the benefits of music as therapy for depression are, 1, they decrease anxiety and stress. 2, they lower muscle tension. 3, they improve self-esteem. 4, they increase motivation. 5, they enhance interpersonal relationships. 6, they feel safe and happy. And 7, successful and safe emotional release. So music as a therapy, music as being able to heal, is amazing. Now, we've actually reviewed a very small portion of what music can accomplish from the non-scientific or anecdotal side, and have seen that none of the scientific research has negated whatever our assertions were. In essence, the science has reaffirmed our understanding about how effective music is to achieve many states of relaxation, elevation of mood, reinforcing work ethic, imbuing energy, healing the physical as well as our energy bodies, and the list goes on and on. So the music is a motivator, the music is a regulator, the music is a motivator, the music is a relaxer. Now, science, however, has given no insight on how or why music is so effective. Neither does it even hint about its purpose. The knowledge book, however, does supply the answer. To summarize, we are in an accelerated evolution program where cosmic energies and frequencies, vibrations, or music are showering our planet to complete our evolution program. This is accomplished by a higher energy supporting and elevating a lower energy. What this means is there is always a person who is in higher energy level, and that person's responsibility and joy is to help another person at a lower energy to be able to get to a higher energy. Now, according to the knowledge book on fascicle 20, page 290, I quote, if that person's universal channel is not opened yet, his or her constitution cannot purify the different frequencies it receives. In that case, people whose channels have already opened are sent to assist him or her. They transmit the energies they receive from their own frequency dimensions to the energies lower than themselves and wash away the negative energies causing the sickness of that person with their individual energies, and thus they create a medium of healing. The frequency of the person in question is reinforced by the mechanism and may be exalted to the medium of more advanced dimensions in accordance with the mission he will perform. So what makes us sick is negativity. Negativity is basically something that we've gone through that we have resentment for. If we're still in anger, if we're still in jealousy, if we're still in covetousness, if we are still thinking me, 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 as opposed to we, then we are still in negativity. And that negativity impacts our bodies. That negativity basically keeps us at a lower energy level, keeps us at a lower evolution level, which means it keeps us sick. So higher energies, whether it's in the form of person, music, or cosmic energies coming in directly, have the power to heal by transmitting energies and frequencies to a lower energy form to remove the negativity causing the sickness. So healing is basically removing negativity, raising the energy and the frequency of that individual, raising their energy levels, because certain sicknesses can only live at lower frequencies. you get your body vibrating to higher frequency, that body will not be able to get sick because disease does not live at that frequency. However, when you think about it, the best and the safest form of healing is accomplished by reading the knowledge book, by writing the knowledge book and participating in the studies. Because with the knowledge book, every individual who is participating in the studies, who is reading and writing, they receive the perfect dosage necessary at the time that they are reading it, at their particular evolution, frequency, and energy level. And each person gradually has their negativity removed without any danger or shocks. And basically, the knowledge book accomplishes this feat because it, through the light photon technique, it basically, through this technique, the knowledge book gives us whatever dosage we need at that time, so we don't need to depend on others and having them give us information, because the knowledge book directly gives us whatever we need, what we need, and when we need it. And now I think it is time to close, because it is time that my time is up. So again, my telephone number for contacts is 973-787-7035. Email address is mmjp99@gmail.com. The Knowledge Book website is www.theknowledgebook.net. Oh, sorry, USA, theknowledgebook.net. And the Turkish World Brotherhood Union website is www.dkb-mevlana.org.tr. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next week or next time.
You've been listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity, and its time of transition to the Golden Age that provided the truth and energies and frequencies. Now, she shares information from and answers questions about the Knowledge Book with you each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit Marge at usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.